Chapter 10. What was that? Apostrophe apostrophe said Anne.
I don't know, apostrophe said her companion.
I'll go and see.
Apostrophe, he went round the intervening swamp of Watercress and Brooklyn, which had once been the fish pond, crossed by a culvert the trickling brook that still flowed that way, and advanced to the wall of the house. Boisterous noises were resounding from within, and he was tempted to go round the corner, where the low windows were, and look through a chink into the room whence the sounds proceeded. It was the room in which the younger dined, traditionally called the Great Parlor, and within it sat about a dozen young men of the Yeomanry Cavalry, one of them being Festus. They were drinking, laughing, singing, thumping their fists on the tables, and enjoying themselves in the very perfection of confusion. The candles, blown by the breeze from the partly opened window, had guttered into coffin handles and shrouds, and, choked by their long black wicks for want of snuffing, gave out a smoky yellow light. One of the young men might possibly have been in a maudlin state, for he had his arm round the neck of his next neighbor. Another was making an incoherent speech to which nobody was listening. Some of their faces were red, some were sallow, some were sleepy, some wide awake. The only one among them who appeared in his usual frame of mind was Festus, whose huge burly form rose at the head of the table, enjoying with a serene and triumphant aspect the difference between his own condition and that of his neighbors. While the trumpet major looked, a young woman, niece of Anthony Cripplestraw, and one of Uncle Benji's servants, was called in by one of the crew, and much against her will a fiddle was placed in her hands, from which they made her produce discordant screeches. The absence of Uncle Benji had, in fact, been contrived by young Derryman, that he might make use of the hall on his own account. Cripplestraw had been left in charge, and Festus had found no difficulty in forcing from that dependent the keys of whatever he required. John Loveday turned his eyes from the scene to the neighboring moonlit path, where Anne still stood waiting. Then he looked into the room, then at Anne again. It was an opportunity of advancing his own cause with her by exposing Festus, for whom he began to entertain hostile feelings of no mean force. No, I can't do it, apostrophe he said. 'Tis underhand. Let things take their chance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he moved away, and then perceived that Anne, tired of waiting, had crossed the stream, and almost come up with him. What is the noise about? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said. There's company in the house, apostrophe said Loveday. Company? Farmer Derryman is not at home, apostrophe said Anne, and went on to the window, whence the rays of light leaked out, the trumpet major standing where he was. He saw her face enter the beam of candlelight, stay there for a moment, and quickly withdraw. She came back to him at once. Let us go on, apostrophe she said. Loveday imagined from her tone that she must have an interest in Derryman, and said sadly, you blame me for going across to the window, and leading you to follow me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a bit, apostrophe said Anne, seeing his mistake, as to the state of her heart, and being rather angry with him for it. I think it was most natural, considering the noise. Apostrophe, apostrophe, silence again. Derryman is sober as a judge, apostrophe said Loveday, as they turned to go. It was only the others who were noisy. Apostrophe, whether he is sober or not is nothing whatever to me, apostrophe said Anne. Of course not. I know it, apostrophe said the trumpet major, in accents expressing unhappiness at her somewhat curt tone, and some doubt of her assurance. Before they had emerged from the shadow of the hall, some persons were seen moving along the road. Loveday was for going on just the same, but Anne, from a shy feeling that it was as well not to be seen walking alone with a man who was not her lover, said, apostrophe Mr. Loveday, let us wait here a minute till they have passed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, on nearer view the group was seen to comprise a man on a peopled horse, and another man walking beside him. When they were opposite the house they halted, and the rider dismounted, whereupon a dispute between him and the other man ensued, apparently on a question of money. 'Tis old Mr. Derryman come home. Said Anne. He has hired that horse from the bathing machine to bring him. Only fancy. Before they had gone many steps further, the farmer and his companion had ended their dispute, and the latter mounted the horse and cantered away, Uncle Benji coming onto the house at a nimble pace. As soon as he observed Loveday and Anne, he fell into a feebler gait. When they came up, he recognized Anne. And you have torn yourself away from King George's Esplanade so soon, Farmer Derryman? Said she. Yes, faith. I couldn't buy that such a ruination place, said the farmer. Your hand in your pocket every minute of the day. 'Tis a shilling for this, half a crown for that. If you only eat one egg, or even a poor windfall of an apple, you've got to pay, and a bunch o' radishes is a halfpenny, and a quart o' cider a good tuppence three farthings at lowest reckoning. Nothing without paying. I couldn't even get a ride homeward upon that screw without the man wanting a shilling for it, when my weight didn't take a penny out of the beast. I've saved a penn'orth or so of she-leather to be sure, but the saddle was so rough why patches, that it took twopence out of the seat of my best breeches. King George have ruined the town for other folks. More than that, my nephew promised to come there tomorrow to see me, and if I had stayed I must have treated N. Hey, what's that? It was a shout from within the walls of the building, and Loveday said, your nephew is here, and has company. My nephew here? Gasped the old man. Good folks, will you come up to the door with me? Just for company. Dear me, I thought my house was as quiet as a church. They went back to the window, and the farmer looked in, his mouth falling apart to a greater width at the corners than in the middle, and his fingers assuming a state of radiation. 'Tis my best silver tankards they've got, that I've never used. Oh, 'tis my strong beer. 'Tis eight candles guttering away, when I've used nothing but 20s myself for the last half year. You didn't know he was here, then? Said Loveday. Oh no! Said the farmer, shaking his head halfway. Nothing's known to poor I. There's my best drummers jingling as careless as if 'twas tin cups, and my table scratched, and my chairs wrenched out of joint. See how they tilt 'em on the two back legs, and that's ruin to a chair. Ah! When I be gone he won't find another old man to make such work with, and provide goods for his breaking, and house room and drink for his tier brass set. Comrades and fellow soldiers, said Festus to the hot farmers and yeomen he entertained within, as we have vowed to brave danger and death together, so we'll share the couch of peace. You shall sleep here tonight, for it is getting late. My scram blue vinny galley crow of an uncle takes care that there shan't be much comfort in the house, but you can curl up on the furniture if beds run short. As for my sleep, it won't be much. I'm melancholy. A woman has, I may say, got my heart in her pocket, and I have hers in mine. She's not much to other folk, but she is to me. The little thing came in my way and conquered me. I fancy that simple girl. I ought to have looked higher, I know it. What of that? 'Tis a fate that may happen to the greatest men. Wash her name? Said one of the warriors, whose head occasionally drooped upon his epaulets, and whose eyes fell together in the casual manner characteristic of the tired soldier. It was really Farmer Stubb, of Duddle Hole. Her name? Well, 'tis spelt A-N, but, by gad, I won't give ye her name here in company. She don't live 100 miles off, however, and she wears the prettiest cap ribbons you ever saw. Well, 'tis weakness. S he has little, and I have much, but I do adore that girl, in spite of myself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, let's go on, apostrophe said Anne. Prithee stand by an old man till he's got into his house. Apostrophe, apostrophe implored Uncle Benji. I only ask ye to bide within call. Stand back under the trees, and I'll do my poor best to give no trouble. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll stand by you for half an hour, sir, apostrophe said Loveday. After that I must bolt to camp. Apostrophe, apostrophe, very well. Bide back there under the trees, apostrophe said Uncle Benji. I don't want to spite him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you'll wait a few minutes, just to see if he gets in. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the trumpet major to Anne as they retired from the old man. I want to get home, apostrophe said Anne anxiously. When they had quite receded behind the tree trunks and he stood alone, Uncle Benji, to their surprise, set up a loud shout, altogether beyond the imagined power of his lungs. Man a lost, apostrophe he cried, repeating the exclamation several times, and then ran and hid himself behind a corner of the building. Soon the door opened, and Festus and his guests came tumbling out upon the green. "'Tis our duty to help folks in distress, apostrophe said Festus. Man lost, where are you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, 'twas across there, apostrophe said one of his friends. No, 'twas here, apostrophe said another. Meanwhile Uncle Benji, coming from his hiding place, had scampered with the quickness of a boy up to the door they had quitted, and slipped in. In a moment the door flew together, and Dan heard him bolting and barring it inside. The revelers, however, did not notice this, and came on towards the spot where the trumpet major and Anne were standing. Here's succor at hand, friends, apostrophe said Festus. We are all king's men, do not fear us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe said Loveday, so are we. Apostrophe he explained in two words that they were not the distressed traveler who had cried out, and turned to go on. "'Tis she, my life, 'tis she," said Festus, now first recognizing Anne. "'Fair Anne, I will not part from you till I see you safe at your own dear door. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she's in my hands, apostrophe," said Loveday civilly, though not without firmness, so it is not required, thank you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, man, had I but my sword, apostrophe, come, apostrophe, said Loveday, I don't want to quarrel. Let's put it to her. Whichever of us she likes best, he shall take her home. Miss Anne, which? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Anne would much rather have gone home alone, but seeing the remainder of the Yamanri party staggering up, she thought it best to secure a protector of some kind. How to choose one without offending the other, and provoking a quarrel was the difficulty. You must both walk home with me, apostrophe she adroitly said, one on one side, and one on the other. And if you are not quite civil to one another all the time, I'll never speak to either of you again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they agreed to the terms, and the other yeoman arriving at this time said they would go also as rearguard. Very well, apostrophe said Anne. Now go and get your hats, and don't be long. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, yes, our hats, apostrophe said the Yamanri, whose heads were so hot that they had forgotten their nakedness till then. You'll wait till we've got 'em, we won't be a moment, apostrophe said Festus eagerly. Anne and Loveday said yes, and Festus ran back to the house, followed by all his band. Now let's run and leave 'em, apostrophe said Anne, when they were out of hearing. But we've promised to wait. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the trumpet major in surprise. Promised to wait. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Anne indignantly. As if one ought to keep such a promise to drunken men as that. You can do as you like, I shall go. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is hardly fair to leave the chaps, apostrophe said Loveday reluctantly, and looking back at them. But she heard no more, and flitting off under the trees, was soon lost to his sight. Festus and the rest had by this time reached Uncle Benji's door, which they were discomfited and astonished to find closed. They began to knock, and then to kick at the venerable timber, till the old man's head, crowned with a tasseled nightcap, appeared at an upper window, followed by his shoulders, with apparently nothing on but his shirt, though it was in truth a sheet thrown over his coat. Fie upon me all for making such a hullabaloo at a weak old man's door, apostrophe he said, yawning. What's in thee to rouse honest folks at this time o' night? Apostrophe, hang me, why it's Uncle Benji. Ha ha ha, apostrophe said Festus. Nunc, why how the devil's this? Tis I Festus wanting, 2 inches apostrophe, oh no, my clever man, whoever you be. Apostrophe said Uncle Benji in a tone of incredulous integrity. My nephew, dear boy, is miles away at quarters, and sound asleep by this time, as becomes a good soldier. That story won't do tonight, my man, not at all. Apostrophe, upon my soul tis I, apostrophe said Festus. Not tonight, my man, not tonight. Anthony, bring my blunderbuss, apostrophe said the farmer, turning, and addressing nobody inside the room. Let's break in the window shutters, apostrophe said one of the others. My wig, and we will, apostrophe said Festus. What a trick of the old man. Apostrophe, get some big stones, apostrophe said the yeoman, searching under the wall. No, forbear, apostrophe said Festus, beginning to be frightened at the spirit he had raised. I forget, we should drive him in 2 fits, for he's subject to 'em, and then perhaps 'twould be manslaughter. Comrades, we must march. No, we'll lie in the barn. I'll see into this, take my word for tea. Our honor is at stake. Now let's back. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.